They're going to cover a few different areas, and I'll kind of guide you as I read. The first is Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, and you'll hear a Sabbath theme. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Next on prayer, and when we get to the most familiar part, our Father in heaven, please read aloud with me from the Lord's Prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Sorry, I had to awkwardly turn around so we weren't reading different things. Next up, fasting, from Isaiah 58 as well. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." Next, in the vein of silence and solitude, from Exodus 24. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction." Then Moses set out with Joshua, his assistant, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them." When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days, the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Then from Matthew chapter 14, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. This is the word of the Lord.
Oh, you could hear me whisper. That's scary. I got the short stool. To set the stage for you this morning, with Pastor Andrew's guidance and leadership, we just finished an insightful series, at least it was insightful for me, on confronting chaos creatures. So we learned how evil and the breakdown of God's intended flourishing was portrayed in the ancient world of Scripture, and how close we all are to chaos. We see it obviously in our world, in the spiritual realms, in people, in others, and we also recognize that it's in ourselves sometimes more than we want. So we learned, and I held on to the fact that God has given us authority to rule and have dominion and to bring flourishing to all of creation. So we don't live in fear of chaos, but we do acknowledge it. So in order to participate with God in this flourishing and bringing God's kingdom on earth, we have to be able to have a moment to actually acknowledge and recognize where these chaos creatures might be. We have to explore our emotions and responses and take actions in the power of the Holy Spirit. And how do we make space for that to happen? So we're going to circle back. We're going to talk this morning about some of the practices of spiritual formation that we have focused on in the past 2 years, and I believe there will be a couple more practices coming this winter and spring. And so we're kind of revisiting today some of the spiritual practices that help us listen to the Holy Spirit more fully, help us be transformed into people who are ruling with God, bringing flourishing to those around us as opposed to bringing chaos or responding to chaos, and becoming a people of God that are bending more towards yielded trust in our God and less anxiety and worry. And so we have two elders here this morning who are going to answer questions with me. We know we heard lots of good teaching on practices. We know that we encouraged each of us to practice, like do the work of build the muscle of the practice, whether in small group or in your family setting. And we also want to support and challenge each other as a whole community that we're doing these practices together so that we're flourishing and growing together. And in all of that, remember that it's God who does this work. It's not about us. It's not about warm fuzzies for me. It's about defeating chaos and bringing flourishing and restoring God's kingdom here on earth. So we have been through the practice of Sabbath, prayer, fasting, and solitude. Those were the four specifics that we did in the past 2 years. And we spent about a month on each one with like discussion questions and videos and follow-ups in your small groups. So first, gentlemen, what is one of the spiritual practices that you have incorporated more into your life rhythm over the past 2 years? And if you could tell us like what that looks like, how you do it, what resources you've used, etc. Philip, you look ready to go.
Sure. Thanks, Crystal. So one of the spiritual practices that I've incorporated more into my life in the past 2 years, first of all, I want to say that there was an email that went around to the elders saying, oh, would you be interested in joining this panel? And I was like, I don't do any of these well, so I'm not replying. But Crystal convinced me that we have something to share, and it's our experience in striving for these and what we gain. And so hopefully we'll bring some of that to you, and it'll be beneficial.
Encouraging.
Yeah, encouraging.
Our hope is to encourage you and remind you to bring these back.
So for me, I would really say prayer is something that has been more a part of my life integrated. And it's interesting to me because it's at first I was like, is it? But then, for me, it's probably maybe different than the way that we might traditionally think of prayer, like kneeling and praying and intercessing and being a prayer warrior. For me, when I think about prayer that has really been more a part of my life, it's just what I call waking prayer or sort of listening prayer, where throughout my day, like in my daily activities and in terms of my relationships with people and the interactions I have, I try to hear God a lot more before I speak or before I act. Mm-hmm. And try to see what guidance I might have from the Lord. And, that's been something that's really I've been focused on. But I will have to say that comes out of, at WCF, we also, in my small group, maybe more than a decade ago, we also did a number of practicing of the spiritual disciplines like solitude and fasting, and those have really kind of been the basis for which helped me to improve my sort of what I call listening and waking prayer life. So they all kind of, mm-hmm. I feel these practices or disciplines, really, because they're hard, they're disciplines, really have helped bring that together for
Thank
me,
you.
At least, yeah.
Matt, do you have?
So I'll confess that when the email went around, it didn't list the four disciplines that we have already gone over, and I thought the list was different, and I thought I was committing to a conversation about a discipline that's not on today's official list.
Wow.
So the official list today
is... Maybe you went to a different church.
Because the things we've discussed have been Sabbath, prayer, solitude, and fasting. Those are like the four that the church has gone over in the last couple years. And when I realized that was the list, my reaction was, oh no.
What was the one you were going to do?
Oh, I thought scripture was on the list, but yeah. That's coming in the future.
It's coming. But it kind of is integrated into these.
Yeah, that's the one I'm jazzed about,
which I was going to talk about.
So, my spiritual practice that I will say has been better incorporated into my life and my family's life has been Sabbath over the last year and a half. Because a year and a half ago, two different things started in Alyssa's in my life. First was the Luke study, and that's like the beginning of the day. And then the second thing is sending our kids to Awana at the end of the day on Sundays. And so through the magic of scheduling and committing to things, we have started to have a day in our family's life, at least during the school year, that is like more dedicated end-to-end to time
with God,
with our nuclear family, and thinking about God and being in community with WCF. And that actually has been a place of peace for us. The other disciplines, like I find that I'm bad at open-ended disciplines, at commitments I make only to myself, but professionally, I'm a landscape architect. I'm very deadline oriented, and so if I like make a commitment to be prepared to talk about Luke, or if I make a commitment to get the kids to Awana, then like then I can stick to it. So I sort of like tricked myself into discipline.
Good.
With those things.
That works. We do what we have to do. I think mine was fasting. I grew up knowing about fasting, but hadn't practiced it for a while. And it was always in time of great need, right? When you need to hear from God, or somebody's really sick, or you know, you fast and pray. And that's all good, and it's real, and it's true. But I really appreciated learning about fasting as just an act of obedience, surrendering my body and my desires, and like a teeny tiny bit of suffering. I know it sounds petty, but like being hungry, right? Like suffering a little bit did really help me connect more with the suffering of Jesus, which is a topic that I kind of tried to avoid, I think, for a long time, and didn't really connect with. So that was really helpful. And also just being more aware of the poor and the hungry. And so our small group fasted together. I'm like, Matt, I wouldn't do it if it was just me, but knowing I had accountability, we would text each other, you know, and like talk about our growling stomachs or whatever God was telling us that day. And that really helped. And lesson I kept on after the month was done, fasting on Wednesdays. I don't do that every Wednesday anymore at all. But just recently have started again. And it's a partial fast, you know, like till dinner. I'm not doing anything too crazy. But it just helps me, like, it's sort of what Philip said, it helps me even throughout my day to, like, just have that little growly in my stomach or a little urge, like, it just calls me back to God. And I can get really self-absorbed and self, you know, go through my day doing the work I know I do and doing it well, but, like, just to remember to invite God into it before a family conference, before a meeting with the teacher, before, yeah, so it's just been a nice way for my body to call me back to God. So that's one that I want to continue. Guys, how about what practice was the hardest for you, and what did you learn from the challenge in it? Matt?
Philip's best thing is my worst thing.
Prayer.
I'm rotten at prayer. Part of that is like so much of prayer can be internal, and like just remembering to incorporate the dialogue with God is not something that is a daily practice for me. It's usually prompted by some sort of urgency, like in the way that you would fast. My prayer life is usually prompted more by
need
or crisis or major decision to make. We have made it a practice in our family to pray at the table every day or when we're all together for a meal. But you know, when it's time for the Luke study, I usually ask someone else to lead that, and partially that's because I don't feel like very good at it. Mm. I like to be around other people praying and hearing their prayers and like the wise things they say, or the, you know, just the way that they're able to connect with God through prayer. I'm a little jealous of the way that I've heard some people describe the richness of their prayer lives, but that's not my experience. I also think I have a little bit of a fraught relationship with prayer because of my history with my mom and her, like, if you don't know, she spent 20 years or longer with increasingly debilitating MS. She spent most of my adult life in a nursing home and passed away a couple years ago. I prayed with a lot of sincerity.
Yeah.
And I'm not like angry at God, but the things I prayed for did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been difficult.
Yeah. I had prayer too for one of mine, but mostly because it's hard for me to be quiet. So solitude, they all blend together really, but the solitude, silence, you know, is how you're going to pray. But one of the things that I really appreciated that helped me through that prayer series was praying scripture. So I'm just now thinking, since you love scripture so much and feel like that's one of your strengths, I know it was right before Les and I were getting ready for this trip that he rode bicycle for, and I was asking for a month off work, and I had it semi-approved from HR, but my supervisor needed to approve it, and she told me very suddenly that she was not going to approve it, and that if I went on this trip, I would lose my job. And I was surprisingly devastated. You'd think I'd have it together by now. But, you know, financial insecurities. Who am I if I'm not working? What will I do? Like, what is my vision? Who will I be? Like, just very bad spiral. But it was the prayer series right then, and our small group had committed to sending each other, like we signed up each for a day to send a scripture that we would pray through. And so the scriptures that week were just like bam, 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 you know, and just reminding me of God's provision and God's care and like, you know, just kind of like a reoriented grounding, I think, for what life throws at us. And so I found both praying scripture and praying formulate, like already written prayers. Liturgies are, there's so many. Like I grew up in the Mennonite church, we don't do liturgy. Like we do just, you know, me and Jesus, we gonna talk. But I love some of the liturgical prayers, right? Like, and just to be able to read somebody else's words and resonate with them was really a growing push for me, because I do a lot of quick praying all day. I like to pretend like I pray without ceasing, but that's really not true. I've tried all kinds of things, like every time you set your coffee cup, say a prayer, which doesn't work. But like, I get the struggle. Like, it's hard, and it's hard to know how to pray, because we don't see the big picture. But I'd encourage you to try scripture, maybe. Pray through that.
If I try the coffee thing, I'll pray much more often.
Did you have one that was tough for you, Philip?
Sure, and it's a spiritual practice, but not one that we've necessarily talked about as such in our service, and that's submission. I mean, we've talked about that plenty, and I'm particularly bad at that when it comes to family members. So sorry, Angie. This feels quite vulnerable. These disciplines really expose kind of who you are, right? So, I mean, it's hard to admit, but I can be very arrogant at times, and especially if I think I'm right, or think somehow like my way is like better. But I really need this discipline of submission because, I deep down I recognize that in God's eyes, being right does not bestow authority on me, to me rather.
Right.
You know,
right.
Just because even if I was over somebody else. And I need to learn that I don't have to get my way to be happy, you know. That's submission is awfully hard to do, and hopefully that's something I can work on, because then, like, Christ can lead the way rather than, like, me. So
it's definitely a practice of Jesus. I'm trying to think if that's one of the ones coming up in the practicing the way. Is it? Maybe. I don't know. Not specifically on submission, but thanks for entering it in. Yeah. So how do you guys feel like you've become more Christ-like through these practices? How are you being formed? I kind of already shared mine. I do a lot more breath prayer before a meeting or before something that I think is going to be stressful. Just kind of reminding myself to breathe in God, breathe in the Spirit, breathe out the anxiety, you know, do the actual and the, like, just with the shoulders and the body. And it does surprisingly release my anxiety. I think through the fasting practice and being hungry, I'm more generous. With those, you know, people with signs along the side of the road, if I have cash or if I have food, I just give it without, you know, I know we're like, oh, this isn't going to solve the problem. Oh, they might spend it on something not good for them. Oh. I'm just like, I hope I'm becoming less judgmental. I think I am. Les could probably tell you I still have a lot of snarky ideas, but I feel like I'm definitely less anxious in my body and in my responses, and more generous in thinking about finances, time, relationships, just feeling more generous. I don't know. How about you guys? How do you feel like you're being changed?
I'd like to share a little bit about a season I had with a specific spiritual practice, which was contemplative prayer. In my 30s, I was going through a very rough time with a lot of anxiety. Mm-hmm. And, I was able to, through somebody's recommendation and counseling, to spend a lot of time in contemplative prayer. And it really, for the first time in my life, I felt something that I was missing, which I just felt truly loved. Like, what spending that time with God, like, every day in silence. And at that time, I feel like a lot of things had bubbled up in me that were coming to the fore. Like, I had a relationship with my mother where I never truly felt she cared about me. And maybe that was just my own perspective, or maybe later on, there are reasons that maybe she didn't quite know how, but I was filling that with all kinds of other things, looking for it. And it was just a very sweet time in my life where I really focused on that every day, and I was quite overwhelmed in feeling this embrace. It's kind of hard to explain, where you've just felt totally loved in a way that I hadn't, and it gave me a lot of purpose and self. Yeah.
Yeah, for the Sabbath practice for us, because it involves like these commitments, there are sort of like different ways it impacts me throughout the day. Like, if I'm leading the Luke study, if I'm giving a sermon especially, then it means that I have gotten to spend a ton of time in the Word preparing. And I both need and love that prompt to do that, to think deeply. So, I mean, in terms of being formed into Christ-likeness, like, Jesus constantly referenced and used Scripture as a rationale for whatever he was doing. It was it was constantly, you know, being quoted and referenced in what he had to say. So I do feel like, see, this is really making the Sabbath practice about Scripture, but I can do that because I have a mic.
They all intertwine.
So yeah, the way that the Sabbath practice has, like, pushed me into deeper thinking and time with Scripture has formed me in that way. There has also been a lot more rest, and the time when Alyssa takes the kids to Awana in the evenings has turned into my baking time with Mr. Calvert.
Yeah.
And Calvert and I bake bread together, and so that has turned into, like, a weekly ritual of time just to spend with him that's special. And so I think the let the children come to me aspect of Christ-likeness is something that I get out of our Sabbath practice too now.
Nice. And the last question I have is, how do these spiritual practices continue to challenge you in areas of weakness or temptation, and how do you hope to incorporate them more into your daily rhythm moving forward? Anybody want to start?
Just quickly, that they're all challenging, and that I think I've come to realize that for me, I would like to prioritize some of them that I've identified. By actually doing them helped me identify them, like submission I talked about, and also another one that's maybe not listed in the series, but is simplicity as another practice. And then there are others that I think I'm willing to have seasons with them, like let's as a small group, we're gonna do our fasting together, we're gonna hold each other up, you know. So I guess that's how I've been thinking about it. But they're all important, but yeah, they're awfully hard.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Scripture one. I think it's this winter or spring. Scripture is one of the ones coming up. So I want to be in Scripture more, and I think it helps with, you know, the reflecting, the prayer, like praying Scripture was really meaningful for me when we did it, and I'm challenged to get back to that. And out of the emphasis on prayer and wanting to learn and pray, I'll just share with you that Elder Kay Hart and Kendrick Smith and I have started meeting one Wednesday a month to pray for WCF and for each other. And mostly around, like, envisioning what a prayer ministry could look like here and how we can all pray more. So that practice of prayer is still in my head. And you are welcome to talk to Kendrick or I this morning, or Kay, if you see her. If we'd love to, like, grow that community, but also if anyone is interested, that'd be great. Anything else?
Yeah, prayer remains, you know, the challenge for me. One of the earlier questions mentioned, like, what resources are useful to you. I've tried, you know, the Prayer a Day or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the app, but no.
Like, no? Pray as you go.
No, pray as you go, that's it, yes. Like, glad that that's being useful to many people. Haven't connected with it really well. So finding a way into that practice is something that that I'd like to do.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Philip and Matt, for joining me. Next Sunday, another group of elders will be up here telling you their experiences with these practices. So come back for part two. And I do encourage you to, like, do this in your small group. Take a minute to say, hey, WCF was working on spiritual formation. How are we doing? You know, which one of these practices have we really incorporated? Or talk about it as a family. And just revisit some of your, like, I was scrolling through my notes on my phone. And, you know, we all did a little bit of rereading to say, oh, yeah. It's good. Reflection is good. And it's how we learn. So encourage you to do the same. So we all remember as we close this up that We serve a God who loves us, has lots of grace and mercy, so none of us need to be perfectionists with any of this. It is through the Holy Spirit's power that we can even come to God and have the capacity to be with Jesus and to practice the ways of Jesus. So as we live into these practices, we will become more like Jesus. We will be able to do more Jesus things in our world. And connecting back again to the chaos series that we just finished last week, like this is how we slay dragons. These practices and being in community and talking about our growth and being formed more into the likeness of Christ is how we confront chaos and bring flourishing to our world. So thank you for listening to us.